Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Special thanks to Giuseppe Vaffangulo for being willing to step into the breach when Mitchell Bupp was unable to connect to the studio today. I want to talk, of course, about the latest poll results, about my anticipation of the events of tomorrow, and to announce that there's going to be a special live coverage of, by Giuseppe, me, and Scorpio as events unfold, beginning an hour earlier than normal to keep track of the action as it unfolds, because I believe, in fact, we're going to have a very early decisive result of this election, or it will be obvious that there's a massive effort to steal it. That much, one way or the other, is going to be clear right off the bat. Meanwhile, I have to share with you the final 2020 election poll from Rasmussen, which has proven to be by far the most reliable, along with the Trafalgar Square group. It turns out that Trump and Biden are in a national near tie, giving Trump the edge. What's happening? Let me give you the full report here. from Patriot Journal. The election is tomorrow. All the campaign and polling has led to this moment, and now the American people need to vote for their future president. Many national polls have been questioned over the possibility of being skewed and oversampling Democrats, women, progressives, but one has been generally trusted, namely Rasmussen Reports. They actually gave Biden a 12-point lead less than 2 months ago. But with just a day before the election, they are saying this. President Trump and Democrat Biden are in a near tie in Rasmussen Report's final White House Watch survey before Election Day. The latest national telephone and online survey of likely U.S. voters shows Biden edging the president 49-47. 3% like some other candidate, 2% still undecided. Rasmussen is reporting that Trump and Biden are in a near tie, clearly within the margin of error, with Biden leading by only 1 point nationally, which is much better news for President Trump than it might sound like. We've said that polls on their face don't give us much information. But when you follow trends and how the results are moving, that can tell you a whole lot. Since the summer, we've seen polls move away from Biden and toward Trump. That seems to suggest that undecided, independent, and maybe even liberal or Democrat voters are breaking for the president. And that level of momentum toward Trump is critical as well. It could be building a wave of support for him and one that may be manifesting with his massive rallies of over 50,000 participants. If this particular poll is accurate, then Biden probably needed to be ahead by at least 3-4% nationally to have a fighting chance against Trump in the Electoral College. But with the race this close, Trump reportedly doing very well in states like Pennsylvania and Florida, Biden's chances are quickly going down with polls like these. Biden himself has come out of hiding to do some last-minute campaigning. He had to hit up a few spots in Pennsylvania, even though he was drowned out by Trump supporters. And bear in mind, and I'll return to this point again and again, the guy out there on the stomp is not Joe Biden, but a body double. He surfaced at the first presidential debate. We were reporting then live before the debate began that we had multiple reports. Number one, that the Biden campaign already had the questions that were going to be asked. Number two, that Joe Biden had already had a skull implant, so he didn't need a wire to receive information from off of the platform. Number three, that a Biden staffer had reported now that they were the anti-dementia medication Joe Biden was receiving had the unfortunate side effect of incontinence, where they had even had staff meetings about what type of adult diaper Joe Biden should wear that would be the least visible through his trousers and not crinkle when he urinated, leading me to speculate, and I repeat again, that he has a life after politics making commercials for Depends. Now, what turned out to be striking here is that the Biden campaign requested a break after every 30 minutes of the debate, which would only go for 90 minutes. That meant their candidate, Joe Biden, couldn't endure an hour and a half of continuous intellectual exchange with Donald Trump on the platform. They needed to take a break every 30 minutes to change his diaper. That meant they had to fall back on Plan B, which is to bring in a Biden body double. I have no doubt whatsoever they were emboldened in this decision by the fact that Hillary Clinton in 2016 had repeatedly, again and again, relied upon body doubles. The first was sent out after she had been taken back to Chelsea's new apartment, which just happened to be on a floor with a private hospital, which was closed, so they'd have only one patient, Hillary Clinton. They were worried that the public anxiety might grow about the state of her health, so they sent out a body double. Younger, thinner, more healthy, and pleasant, completely unlike Hillary Clinton. She reminded me so much of one of my favorite actresses. I refer to her as the Meg Ryan double. Meanwhile, then, about 3 days later, on a flight to Charlotte, North Carolina, they had a second body double. This one shorter, a bit heavier, with a more sloped forehead, to my refer as the Meryl Streep double. This is really striking in and of itself, but the best was yet to come, where on the occasion of her debate with Bernie Sanders, they used a third Hillary, a double, who was the best of the lot. Yes, younger, better looking, healthier, more lightweight, of course, but with a voice box that imitated Hillary's voice, so that a number of commentators noticed that Hillary, namely the party on the stage posing as Hillary, had a voice box that made her voice indistinguishable from that of Hillary Clinton. And they repeated the event when they had debates with Donald Trump. It was not Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. It was Donald Trump versus a Hillary double. Now, I've documented all this numerous places. What you want to look for online is fake news, issues of identity, where I begin by talking about how we know Lee Oswald was actually in the doorway of the Texas School Book Depository when the JFK motorcade passed by, meaning that he not only could not have been the lone demented gunman, but he could not have been one of the shooters, where only Domegard and I have now identified 8. I've identified 6 by name, rank, and serial number, the shots they took and the effects they had. Oli has identified a 7th with which I agree, and now there turns out to be an 8th in perhaps the most improbable location of all, behind that single tree in the grass opposite the grassy knoll, where I've seen 2 different photographs of this marksman holding his rifle. One in the possession of Ed Tatro, another in the possession of Rick Russo. Not the same photograph, but clearly the same shooter, number 8, the only one we haven't identified by name. So the second has to do with the faking of the children at Sandy Hook, where we've been able to superimpose images to identify that the youngest of the children alleged to have died at Sandy Hook, namely Noah Posner, actually was a photograph of the party supposed to be his older stepbrother, Michael Vabner, who was actually already in college at the time of the Sandy Hook event, but where Larry Rivera, who did brilliant, brilliant work mastering the principles of photogrammetry to establish that not only were the height, the weight, the build, the shirt, and the T-shirt of the man in the doorway at the book depository the same as the height, the weight, the build, the shirt, and the T-shirt of Lee Oswald when he was arrested, but that he also had the facial features of Lee Oswald and not of Billy Lovelady, whom the government insists to this day was the man in the doorway, who himself said he thought it was odd they'd be confused, since he was 2 to 3 inches shorter and 15 to 20 pounds minimally heavier, and who, when the FBI called him in on the 29th of February, 1964, wearing the shirt he wore on the day of the assassination, turned out to have worn a red and white vertically striped short sleeve shirt, very unlike the long sleeve, richly textured and worn shirt on the man in the doorway. Fascinating development. Larry confirmed the facial features were indeed those of Lee, not those of Billy. So I sent Larry the two photographs without any identifying information. He didn't know the circumstances. He had no idea it had anything to do with Sandy Hook. A photograph of Noah Posner, so climbed, and of Michael Vabner. And Larry sent me back a GIF in which you can see Noah Posner turn into Michael Vabner. If you check out Fake News Issues of Identity, you'll see the transformation take place there before your very eyes, and you'll understand how they fake the kids at Sandy Hook using photographs of older kids when they were younger, or in some cases, as Mona Alexis Presley has determined, the parents cynically use photographs of themselves when they were children. How outrageous is that? Meanwhile, in addition, all the evidence I've been describing here of Hillary's use of body doubles is presented there with additional proofs about how we know that these were not Hillary Clinton, and where I also comment on an article that was published in February of 2017 by the New York Times by a Broadway reporter talking about Hillary's in the house, claiming that she'd attended four different plays on Broadway, where I wrote to the reporter and said how that was a very interesting story, but none of those women were Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's outrageous. I believe emboldened by their success, where no one in the national media challenged the identification, they felt they could proceed by using the body double in the bait with Trump because their own man, the real guy, had lost his cognitive competence, was describing himself, you know, failing to know what state he was in, what town he was in, what race he was running for, even whether the woman introducing him or by his side was his own wife, Jill, who's gone far out of her way to cover up this massive deception being perpetrated on the American people. So the guy who's showing up for debates now, you can tell, is not Joe Biden, but the body double. It's really simple. Joe Biden had earlobes where his ears connect to his face. They turn upward. So you have discernible portion hanging down, which is known as a lobe. Most of us have earlobes. Joe Biden's body double, however, does not. His ear comes straight down, connects to the facial features and the skin. There is no upturn. There is no earlobe. Number one, the most easily discernible difference. Number two, Joe Biden's body double has brown eyes, whereas Joe Biden has blue. James Woods, the Hollywood actor, was the first to identify. He put a tweet out about this. Hey, do you notice the blue eyes? Even the president has picked up about this, saying he's got different eyes. Now, it's possible to obfuscate by using blue contact lenses, which may be being done now since this has become an issue within the alternative community. In addition now, Joe Biden has a relatively normal breadth of skull, but the body double has a more narrow skull. In addition, Joe Biden has a relatively normal chin, though when he smiles, there's a bit of a cleft. The guy, the body double, has a very pronounced cleft chin. There are other behavioral indicators, including that Joe Biden, when he ties his tie, uses a double Windsor knot, the body double only a single. And it was striking, given we knew that Joe had had a surgical implant, so he could get direct messages wirelessly. The body double hasn't had an implant and had to wear a wire. Now, what Rasmussen is reporting is that Joe Biden, actually the body double, has even been fighting in the blue state of Minnesota. But why would he go there unless he were in trouble? Despite the gloom and doom, the media has been reporting for years that enthusiasm for Trump appears to be at an all-time high. Supporters appear to be even more excited to vote for him now than they were in 2016. The crowds look bigger, the lines are longer, and Republicans are breaking early voting records from state to state. There's a great chance Trump will once again upset the experts and pull off another victory. Do you think Trump will win in 2020? Here are the key takeaways from this report. Rasmussen reveals in their last poll, Biden and Trump are in a near tie nationally. That's an 11-point shift toward Trump in their polls in the last 2 months. Enthusiasm for Trump's campaign dwarfs anything from Biden. Indeed, there's a noticeable absence of enthusiasm for Biden and for Kamala as well. Indeed, when Trump went to Minnesota, to Duluth, in fact, there were a couple hundred people who found him a curiosity out on the street. But when he had his rally in the Carpenters Union, there were only a dozen people there. Meanwhile, Donald Trump was pulling tens of thousands elsewhere in the state. This has been replicated again and again. Kamala and Trump and Biden, interestingly, showed up together in Arizona, and local reporters were dumbfounded. Not one person turned out to greet them. Similarly, here in Kenosha, Wisconsin, when Trump came to Kenosha, there was a string of citizens five blocks long. When Biden came, there was one woman, a school teacher, who turned out to greet him. Kamala, likewise, went to Asheville, North Carolina, and was greeted by a crowd, which is a liberal enclave, and was greeted by a crowd of 12. But as I would learn subsequently from Mike Ivey, who resides in Asheville, who joins Giuseppe and me on our need to know daily news reports, 11 of those were Michael Ivey and 10 of his friends. They turned out, they thought they were going to harass Kamala, but when she only had one supporter there, they felt sorry for her, so they reined in their horns. But how pathetic is that? How pathetic is that? Meanwhile, a few days ago, Chris Barron reported about his projections of the news. He writes for the Political Insider. Here's what he wrote. With only days left till the election, it's time for me to make my predictions. In 2016, I predicted a Trump win, accurately predicting he would flip Michigan. But even I didn't see the magnitude of the president's win and incorrectly thought Hillary would prevail in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. The top line, I think he really means the bottom for the presidential race, it's going to be tight in several key battleground states, but when all is said and done, President Donald J. Trump will be reelected. Now, according to his electoral vote, he has Trump with 305 and Biden with 233. He gives Biden Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada. I doubt very much that's going to happen. As I see it, Trump already had all the rural voters in Washington and Oregon, and now because of the riots, Antifa, Chaz, CHOP, disillusionment with a Democratic mayor and governor, half of those urban voters are going to flip and vote for Trump. They're not going to stand with the Democrats who have failed them so miserably. I believe even in California, where Governor Devin Nunes, who's a nephew of Nancy Pelosi, has antagonized Californians again and again and again, even coming out with outrageous restrictions on how they can celebrate Thanksgiving, that there's going to be a massive backlash. I believe California, the bluest of the blue states, can go red. They're also showing right now Wisconsin going blue. I think that's ridiculous. Wisconsin is going to go red. Virginia and New York remaining blue. I have serious doubts about it. Meanwhile, and this is now Christopher Barron continuing in the Political Insider, Joe Biden will prevail in the popular vote, which frankly I doubt, meaning that Democrats will spend the next 4 years crowing about how we need to change the rules, meaning abolish the Electoral College so their candidate can win. It'll be clear already on election night that Trump has been reelected. Giuseppe Scarpi and I are going to be following up with a live coverage beginning an hour earlier than normal, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, giving you the latest on what's coming in. Despite the fact it will be absolutely clear, most of the major news networks will not call the race. Joe Biden will not concede. Twitter and Facebook will censor posts from the president after he declares victory. The country will spend the next month in a series of pointless court challenges from the Biden campaign. The media will breathlessly talk about how the election was stolen. And in the end, Trump will have been right on election night and will be sworn in again on January 20th, 2021. Meanwhile, here's further evidence in support. Democrats panic in Florida. We've got to stop the bleeding. One of the big problems for the Biden campaign is they have not been doing outreach on the ground throughout the summer because of the pandemic. Remember how they touted they were playing it safe? They were protecting the country? Well, politically, that has been very costly. It caused field organizers to flip out, realizing what a disaster it was for the campaign, while Trump was doing what he could to reach out to millions across the country, going door to door. On top of that, Hispanic support for Trump has exploded, outperforming even his 2016 numbers. This is in part because the Democrats have been lurching towards socialism. Many in Florida are refugees from oppressive nations like Cuba and Venezuela, worried by the warning signs, scared to death of what the Democrats are doing. They also see the failure of the Democrats to properly call out the radical leftist riots, which I believe cost the Democrats already the election during their virtual campaign, when over 4 days they never spent a word condemning urban violence. Meanwhile, in Miami-Dade, it turns out that the Democrats are not turning out. The Republicans are. We'll be right back after this break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point, on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
¿Cómo va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where Giuseppe is sitting in today. I'm very grateful, in lieu of Mitchell, who is out of internet contact. We have a different call-in number, therefore, for callers who are welcome to call in during the second hour. The number today is 703-879-8880. I repeat. The call-in number for calls today during the second hour is 703-879-8880, and Giuseppe will field your call. I was speaking of the situation in Florida, which is causing Democrats grave concern. In Miami-Dade, a county Biden's expected to win, he needs a large number to counteract the vote in the rest of the state. What's scaring Democrats is the turnout for them is just not there. Not only are Democrat voters turning out at lower rates than when Hillary lost in 2016, but they're turning out at lower rates than the Republicans. This is in Dade County. Democrats have a big turnout issue in the Hispanic community in Miami-Dade, said a Florida-based Democratic data analyst, Matt Isabel. Hispanic Democrat turnout is only 48%, while Republican Hispanics are turning out at 57%. Very significant and telling. Meanwhile, Democrats are increasingly worried Minnesota could flip for President Trump, and well, they should be concerned. The Atlantic's Peter Nicholas has reported that Democrats estimate as many as 250,000 white residents who didn't go to college, the heart of Trump's base, who are not registered to vote during the last presidential election or registered to vote now, that Republicans are taking pains to find them. I also believe, however, that an awful lot of those who would ordinarily have voted Democratic in Minnesota, where I resided in Duluth for 19 years, are appalled by the way in which the looting and rioting was allowed to take place in Minneapolis in the wake of the actually fake staged death of George Floyd. even though they believe it, the death was real when it was not. They are appalled by the fact that the Minneapolis Police Department didn't turn out to constrain the rioters, the arsonists, the looters. It was outrageous. And where the city council has voted to defund or even abolish the police. How can you maintain a civil society if you don't have law enforcement? I mean, it's about as idiotic as you get in terms of political reasoning. And yet that's how far the progressive left has gone to capture the Democratic Party, making it a no longer politically viable entity. Frankly, after the massive defeat that's going to take place here tomorrow, the Democrats are not just going to have to regroup. They're going to have to redefine their entire party. A former Representative Jason Lewis, who's the Republican Senate candidate for Minnesota, observed on Breitbart that he believes Minnesota suburbs are largely coming back to the Republican Party because of their fear over riots, public safety, and the Second Amendment. Notice, if the police aren't going to defend you, who's going to defend you if you cannot defend yourself? Which is why we've had such a run on guns and ammunition, including in California, but in other states as well. I mean, look, there have been stupid political platforms in the past, but the idea of defunding or abolishing the police is as bad as it gets, and the consequences are going to be devastating for the Democrats. Trump held a rally in Duluth. Before, recall, I was talking about the Biden rally at the Carpenters Union in Duluth, where he drew a total of 12. A month ago, the majority of attendees who are in the tens of thousands were not Republicans. Get this. I regard this as the most telling sample of why Trump is going to win a massive reelection here tomorrow. Our data from the Duluth rally shows Trump is bringing in tons of new voters. 60% of the attendees were not Republican. I repeat, 60% of the attendees at the Trump rally in Duluth, Minnesota, were not Republican. Over 20% were Democrats. Over 20% were Democrats. And I'm telling you, these long lines are having all over the country to vote. Those are not people who are waiting hours to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Mark my words. Over 17% did not even vote in 2016. Over 8%, about 8.5%, had not voted in the last 4 years. Okay? This is what's going on now around the country. Meanwhile, minorities are speaking out as to why they're refusing to vote for Joe Biden and explain why Donald Trump is their man. Here's an outfit called Campus Reform, traveled around the country interviewing college students. Hear what they got from some of the reports. Joe Biden has been in government for almost 50 years, and that man was a racist. There's even a video of him with Ruth Bader Ginsburg trying to justify the Confederate flag. Here's another. You're telling me because of my skin color, I have to think a certain way? That is racist. No doubt reflecting on Joe Biden's declaring, if you're not voting Democrat, you ain't black. One of his many colossal verbal gaffes and blunders. Here's another. If he were to be elected, imagine how many more black people would be incarcerated. He and Kamala have contributed to black people's incarceration. That's absolutely true. Meanwhile, about Trump, very different points are being made. I don't think he's perfect, but I think he is actually trying to make America great again in the best way he believes he can do it. Another, when he refers to African countries as being crap hole countries, he was specifically talking about their economies. And that's just something that's not debatable. In 2016, I probably wouldn't be having this conversation with you. I was a Bernie bro to the fullest. He's a very blunt guy. But when you take his Twitter, set his Twitter aside, he actually has done many successful things as president. Prison reform has helped minority communities. I think a lot of his tax cuts benefit minorities as well. Here's another. The economy is helping minorities. You see the African-American unemployment rate at an all-time low. Hispanic unemployment at an all-time low. Trump's economic plans after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act have definitely brought up our communities of color, our minority communities. And I repeat and I reiterate that Joe Biden isn't the guy out on the campaign trail now. Joe Biden had too many physical and mental problems. He wasn't qualified to run for president. But they decided to move forward with a body double. My opinion, if the Democrats were somehow successful using this body double to take the election by means fair and foul, principally foul, by somehow manipulating the voting machines, for example, which is the easiest way to do it, which is one of the reasons why I have advocated a four-point program to restore control of democracy to the American people by abolishing voting machines, electronic voting machine, and returning to paper ballots and hand counts, by getting rid of gerrymandered districts using the Iowa model with panels of retired judges to set the districts fairly, to get private money out of federal campaigns, all of which ought to be funded by the taxpayers to keep our elections honest, and by reimposing the draft, which may sound counterintuitive, but since Nixon abolished a draft in order to deflate the anti-war movement, American families have by and large ignored decisions of war and peace, leaving them to the executive branch, which is improper on its face, because they felt they had nothing at stake, knowing their sons and daughters wouldn't be placed at risk. By restoring the draft, you get American families re-involved in the most important decision the nation can make, namely deciding whether or not to engage in war with another nation. I believe we would not actually have even entered Afghanistan, much less Iraq or the other nations where Wesley Clark laid out the full agenda, to wit, to take out the governments of seven nations in the next 5 years, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran, where the whole effort was thwarted by the involvement of Iraq, of Russia and Iran at the request of the Syrian government, led by Bashar al-Assad, the democratically elected president of Syria, where many Americans to this day believe we were in Syria to bring democracy to Syria, which would have been impossible because Syria is already a democratically elected government, where we were actually there to benefit Israel, to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, and to eventually confront the Persian nation of Iran, which Israel fears the most because it has an ancient history, it's a strong culture, a very positive and peaceful nation, which is not engaged, not initiated an act of war against any other nation since 1775. Yes, let me remind you, since 1775, where the ratification of our own Constitution began in 1787, where George Washington was elected our first president in 1789. So for longer than the United States has existed as a constitutional republic, Iran has not launched a war of aggression against any other state. One of the few acts of foreign policy that the Obama administration orchestrated that was well-founded was the so-called Iran deal, because even our own intelligence agencies, I'm talking about the NSA and the CIA primarily, had concluded that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons as early as 2007, a conclusion they reaffirmed in 2011, where even the Mossad came on board, that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons in 2012, just weeks before Bibi Netanyahu went to the United Nations and declared precisely the opposite. Meanwhile, the New York Post has done a sensational job of revealing the contents of the Hunter Biden emails, where I have now made three successive reports about them. You can find at Jim the Conspiracy Guy on Twitter, at James Fetzer, the most recent being perhaps the one anyone who remains in doubt needs to review, because we'll discover the facts of the matter, which have been massively confirmed, not only by Rudy Giuliani reporting on the in detail on the contents of the laptop, but by Hunter Biden's own attorney reaching out to the Mac repairman in Wilmington, Delaware, who took possession of the Macs after Hunter Biden did not show up to pay the repair bill of $85 after 90 days. They became the possession of the repairman. We're scanning through their content. He saw evidence of what appeared to be criminal activity, which he has now shared with the Delaware State Police and with the FBI. There's really no doubt about this. The evidence supporting this is vast and overwhelming, but the mainstream, eager to protect the Democratic Party from the revulsion the public would feel at discovering the contents of these laptops, has refused to report upon them, including, this is China Incorporated emails revealing Hunter Biden's associates helped the communist-allied Chinese elite secure White House meetings, where, although Joe Biden has emphasized that he never got involved in Hunter's business dealings, we have a photograph of his meeting with a Ukrainian oligarch with Joe Biden, his son, in order to promote his business dealings, where we have a Ukrainian lawmaker now reporting that a second laptop belonging to Hunter Biden's business contacts in the country has been seized by law enforcement there, where we even have a detailed map laying out how Joe and his brother Jim and his son Hunter were running a Biden crime family operation with the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party, where Joe Biden has in the past referred to his son Hunter as the smartest guy I know. Get this. The 2020 Democratic presidential nominee discussed his son at an Oprah Winfrey virtual voter mobilization event, describing how former President Barack Obama had convinced him to run alongside him in 2008. I told him I didn't want to do it, Biden said. This is public knowledge. I thought I could help him more as a U.S. senator. The former vice president acknowledged how he discussed his decision with his wife, his mother, and his late son, Beau Biden. He also mentioned Hunter in passing, saying, "And I had my son Hunter, who's the smartest guy I know." Biden said his mother told him, "Honey, Joey, the first man in history who's able to be elected president as an African-American, says he needs you to win Pennsylvania and other states. And you told him no?" I said, "Okay, Mom, what are you doing to me?" I said, "Yes, I will." And so I picked up the phone and called Barack, because my mom, like you, wasn't about to take no for an answer. It was about an obligation, about what you are supposed to do. Meanwhile, we have reports confirmed by Hunter's laptop that the FBI instructed Facebook to censor anything negative about Biden, knowing what would be coming out. Zuckerberg states the FBI warned them a while back that weeks leading up to the election, there would be attempts to interfere the election with hacked documents, and therefore the FBI instructed Facebook to censor anything negative about Biden, knowing what was coming out. We have a report from Anonymous suggesting that Hunter Biden has flipped. This sounds very plausible. I'm not in the position to verify it, but it's a report that's worth sharing, dated 28 October. Hunter Biden has turned himself into the FBI. He was personally interviewed this afternoon by Barr and six other Justice Department lawyers. He's been stashed in a medical facility in Washington, D.C., where he's getting treatment for his addictions. So far, he has signed statements and provided proof of over $300 million in bribes the Biden family has received in the last 20 years. The funds are hidden in several accounts in Switzerland. Hunter has provided proof Joe Biden has been accessing those accounts and using those funds for years. So far, the evidence shows Joe Biden has personally removed over $45 million in cash and use it for personal purposes. The information has been forwarded to the Special Unit of IRS for investigation. Barr will be meeting with Biden on Friday, that would have been 3 days ago, recommending either withdraw from the race or face numerous criminal charges. If he withdraws from the race and forfeits all funds in those accounts, the Biden family, and specifically Hunter, will not face criminal charges. I don't believe that is taking place. Joe Biden obviously deserves prosecution, as do Jim and Hunter. And with the revelations that have been made on Tucker Carlson's show, there just is no doubt about it. It even turns out that the Bidens were working to sell 14% of the Rosneft Oil Company, that's a Russian state oil firm, to the Chinese, to circumvent U.S. sanctions on Russia, and that FBI Director Christopher Wray was representing Roosevelt. This is absolutely stunning. The reason why Wray's FBI has been sitting on Biden's laptop, therefore, is that it includes all the details about his client Rosneft's deal with the Bidens in China. He doesn't want the details of those conversations to get out. Now, among all the reports I've been making, the one that bothers me the most is a comment made by on one of my Jim the Conspiracy Guy of 1 November 2020 with Danny Siris, where I'm reporting on the corruption that's laid out in the laptop that have come to the surface. Janice Blees has reported, Lieutenant General Tom McIrney speaks in Operation Freedom about Operation Hammer set to program the voting machines to make Biden the winner. No Biden, no wonder Biden doesn't even bother to show up. Get this out to all you know, giving a YouTube link. Well, I've checked the YouTube and surprise, surprise, it turns out it's no longer available. I've also checked out the lieutenant general, and he's a former Air Force lieutenant general who wouldn't have been in a position to know what's going on. I think this is very, very serious. I find it profoundly troubling, because if they were somehow able to manipulate the voting machines, I then believe we actually would be engaged or on the verge of a civil war. I do not believe that the supporters of the president are going to allow this election to be stolen, and well, they should not. Very serious. Meanwhile, we have other reports about how censors, even at Vimeo, which is supposed to be a censor-free website, has been blocking videos about Black Lives Matter connection with the Chinese Communist Party. This is reported by Dr. Iowan, who is a retired academician like myself, who had, for example, already published 80 articles about Sandy Hook before I edited the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, including several of hers, where I myself had at that point already published 30. She reports, several years ago when YouTube began censoring videos for political reasons, especially videos on the Sandy Hook false flag, some of us sought refuge at Vimeo, a New York City headquarters video hosting, sharing, and services platform with over 200 members distributed over 150 countries. Unlike YouTube, Vimeo operates on an ad-free basis, driving its revenue from subscriptions by video content providers and other services. But video producers can no longer go to Vimeo as a refuge from political censorship. Vimeo has gone to the side, joining YouTube, Facebook, Google, and Twitter in restricting or censoring content disapproved by the left. A six-minute video produced by Choose Freedom by the New England investigative journalist and author Trevor Loudon has told the Daily Signal on a phone interview he had posted, for only a few hours, a video exposing these connections between Black Lives Matter and the Chinese Communist Party in about 1,600 viewers before Vimeo took it down. Really outrageous that should be done so. As though there were no responsibility to reveal corrupt contacts like these, where we know, of course, Black Lives Matter and Antifa are the militant arm of the Democratic Party, where donations made to Black Lives Matter go to Act Blue and are distributed to candidates like Beto O'Rourke, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, Kamala Harris, and Joe Biden. Meanwhile, newly released records show text message exchanges between the Kenosha DA and a Black Lives Matter activist spanning almost 6 weeks in relation to the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting of these BLA activists, terrorists, and criminals acting in self-defense, a very profoundly disturbing series of exchanges where I have no doubt this guy is one of the district's attorneys that George Soros enabled to be elected in order to, you know, compromise the American system of justice. Completely shocking and despicable. We'll be taking your calls after the break. The number 703-879-8880. Call in for Giuseppe. He'll field your calls. I'll take your calls. See you then.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host here on The Raw Deal. Just a couple more reports before we bring in our first caller. Namely, Joe Biden is the only one, not the only one, using a body double. They rounded out Kamala Harris' body double. They'd even advertise for it. Get this, was the ad they'd put on Facebook. Palm Beach County, Florida. Looking for one Secret Service type male or female actor with black suit. We can supply glasses and tie in PBC, that's Palm Beach County, for this Sunday, 1 to 5, to work with another Secret Service person to flank me as Kamala. Pay is not great, but snacks and a ride in this cool limo included, and it's a huge, long stretch limousine. Meanwhile, it turned out when she showed up at a Palm Beach polling place, she was called out by Laura Loomer, who actually is running for office herself. And when she spotted her, said, "That's not Kamala Harris. And that's very deceptive to the voters." The fake Kamala left the scene. How bad is that? Meanwhile, the Biden surrogate, Pete Buttigieg, said on CNN that Jake told Jake Tapper that another economic a lockdown is still on the table. So if you were to vote for Joe Biden, you're going to get a mask mandate, where we know how damaging masks are to human beings and other living things. It's a form of killing yourself slowly. But he's also planning on another lockdown. How disgusting is that? Meanwhile, Trafalgar polling, which, like Rasmussen, has been extremely reliable in the past, unlike all of the media-associated polls, is predicting a huge Trump win on Sunday. He was on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, and during the discussion, he said all the late breakers are going for Trump. Here's what he reported. What we are seeing is a movement toward Trump with late breakers. We are seeing folks who had initially given every indication they were going to support Biden or were undecided moving toward Trump. And the issue we see moving on is the shutdowns. Even young people we've identified who don't like the president, they like shutdowns even less. Even suburban women who said they have problems with the president, they like their children home and shutdowns even less. Wow. I think that's very, very telling. I think that will prove to be one of the keys to the outcome, a massive red tidal wave for Trump. They've thrown everything at him for the last 6 years, even before he was inaugurated, and it's all up for naught. I'm very pleased to welcome Scorpio to the show. Scorpio, I know you and Giuseppe have been doing a great job with your own show, and I'm sure enjoying doing our daily updates on Need to Know with you and him as well. Welcome.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer, can you hear me?
Very clearly, yes.
Okay. Scorpio. Well, first of all, I'd like to preface my remarks by saying that I hope you are right about a Trump landslide, but I am a little more concerned about this whole thing. You know, there's already been 300 lawsuits furnished, served about this election. I don't know what they're all about, but 300 lawsuits. So we may have a situation where lawyers decide who is the winner of the election. And I just want to leave you with one other thing here. Yeah, Jim, I'm sure you've seen the whole thing, you know, text 30330 to Joe Biden, right?
Tell me about it. Tell me about it, Scorpio.
Well, he already has that. He always has that on his signs and, you know, behind him when he's speaking, you know, text 30330. Well, guess what? What is 2020 divided by 666? It's 3.0330.
This is a Masonic symbol you're suggesting here, Illuminati?
I don't know. It's just a strange coincidence that if you take 2020 and divide it by 666, it comes out to 3.0330. Just saying. I want to see what other people think about that coincidence. Yeah.
What is it supposed to be? Is that that's not a Twitter? What is that? Some kind of text address? 30330.
Happens, Professor? This is Giuseppe. If you want to be added to a text alert system, you send like a small numeric stream or a simple word, and that adds you to their text stream. So whenever they send out a text alert, so that's why they want you to text 30303, because then you'll be on their list, like a email list, but a text list.
But it's 30330.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, but
yeah. Right.
And it's weird. All these. It's more than Masonic to me. It's satanic, because if you look at the whole Bill Gates, who is such an evil lowlife, and for when he got his patent on the quantum tattoo, it's 60606 or 666. This can't be all coincidence. It's like they are mocking people to let them know what they're doing, and you can't do anything about it kind of thing.
Well, you know, that is part of their agenda, is that they feel an obligation to announce in advance what they're going to do and then have a clear conscience if you haven't responded to it. In other words, they shift responsibility by telling you what they're going to do. And then if you fail to take appropriate action, that's your fault, your responsibility.
Yeah, well, that's awfully strange. 2020 divided by 666 equals 3.0330. Could be a coincidence, but you got to wonder.
No, I think that's a good point, Scorpio. And, you know, I really truly believe that these Pacific Coast states that the Democrats are taking for granted may go red. I mean, how much stupidity have we seen in Seattle or in Portland, Oregon, from the mayors who have facilitated the destruction of the downtowns of those cities? I mean, who would want to support the policies that would allow those actions to take place when they're so lawless and irresponsible? And when it turns out that the police departments have been ordered to stand down, that is such a betrayal of their obligation to protect and serve the citizens of the community. And we know in New York, I mean, you've got the most valuable real estate in the world, where some of the wealthiest stores that we've ever seen in history are boarded up because they cannot count on the police to protect them. It's completely outrageous. Why would anyone vote Democratic under these circumstances? It's beyond me.
Well, Jim, you know, it's interesting that you should bring up New York City. I was just watching a video earlier this afternoon of a guy walking around Manhattan, and many, many more stores are boarding up, putting, you know, wood fiber on the windows to protect them from being broken. It's incredible.
Well, of course, it's because they're apprehensive about what's going to happen if Trump is reelected, which is clearly, in my opinion, in the cards. I mean, either he's going to have a huge reelection because all the signs are there. We know it's coming. We know the polls that are being put out by the networks are completely fabricated. One way to interpret them, by the way, the simplest, is that they're simply reversing the support for Biden and the support for Trump and claiming, you know, when they say Biden's actually 10 points ahead of Trump, what they're really basing that on is that, in fact, Trump is 10 points ahead of Biden. They just change the names. And then you get all the numbers and everything add up correctly. It's simply, it's the opposite of what you are being told.
Well, what's interesting, too, Jim, I was watching a Joe Biden speech in Ohio live earlier this afternoon, and not one time did they show the crowd. And instead of cheering when Joe Biden would say, or I should say Joe Biden's double said something interesting, there was no cheering. It was only car honking. Bizarre.
Yeah, what they've done is they're bringing cars because the crowds were so sparse that at least, you know, an automobile takes up so much more space and it's easy for them to bring together a collection of cars and have them honk, but it's just a fraud. It's just one more admission that they can't draw a crowd, that there's no enthusiasm whatsoever. As I've observed before, people are not standing in lines for hours to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They just aren't.
Well, you know, yeah, and the other thing that Joe said in this speech in Ohio is that he pretty much, you know, hinted pretty directly that he will do another lockdown if necessary, and he's going to make a more equitable world too, Jim. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, we're all going to be equally poor. We're all going to be toiling in the fields as serfs and slaves because it'll have wiped out the middle class. I mean,
exactly.
He's obviously at best, he's a mere puppet for the globalists. And it's clear he's beholden to the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, the revelation from the lab bottom are simply stunning. And again, I encourage anyone who hasn't been following this salacious saga, go to JimTheConspiracyGuy.com and check out the last couple of programs I've done with Danny Cirrus about the laptops, or my most recent is available on Twitter. It's been taken down from YouTube, but the Twitter links to BitChute. You can also find it on BitChute, Jim Fetzer, BitChute, Jim Fetzer. but there's more than one. So if you go to the first and you don't see it, it would be the most recent program posted there when you find the right combination of the words BitChute and Jim Fetzer. It's one you really need to watch, especially if you have any lingering doubts about whether or not the Bidens really truly constitute a crime family. And why I find it particularly shameless that Jill Biden is trying to foist off the whole matter by claiming these are merely smears on her family and distractions, when she's a participant in the charade, walking down the street with this body double and feigning it's her husband. It's just outrageous, virtually beyond belief.
You know, gentlemen, there's two instances that I can give you that will show how sadly people, especially older people, just are sticking with the Democrats. The first is Bruce Springsteen, who, as we well know, became a superstar writing about his working class experiences in New Jersey, just a brilliant poet and rock and roll singer-songwriter, musician, right? So he recently came out and said, if Trump is reelected, I'm moving to Australia. And he's all freaked out like a little girl, right? And the reality is that if Bruce Springsteen was a working class populist, he should be leading the effort towards a new independent political party that serves the working class. But no, he's a Democrat. And here's an even sadder scenario. I have a lifelong friend, just really done well for himself, came from working class roots where his father was an Italian immigrant, a Sicilian immigrant, and worked at the Pabst Brewery when the breweries were a good job, and helped his son go to college. And his son then went on to get a master's in accounting and go to UW Madison and get his law degree, and just been a successful tax lawyer and married another lawyer who is just incredibly made great money helping people with their wealthy people with their finances, you know, estate planning type thing. And I sent him a meme. I sent him a message on his birthday, which was just last week. And I said, man, I remember when you turned 16 and you went and got your driver's license, and now we reversed the digits and you're 61. Where did the time go? And then some other friends kicked in information about Trump and he goes, you guys know I'm a lifelong Democrat, right? And some of my friends are people of color. And it was like, nobody is, we all have friends who are people of color. And again, they're just so comfortable in their delusion of what the Democratic Party was, not what it is. And so it's kind of sad that those are the people who are going to vote for Joe Biden. I mean, and Bruce Springsteen did a concert for Joe Biden, one of his, like he did for Obama, like he did for John Kerry, like he did for Hillary. I mean, it's so sad that I love that guy's music so much, because, I mean, I consider him to be such a shithead now. It's tough. Well, I'm conflicted.
I have two comments about that, Giuseppe, which is today Donald Trump has turned the Republican Party from white collar to blue. It's a lot of blue collar working men and women who are responding to Donald Trump and all the good things he's doing for America. The Democrats are trashing the country, and they're doing it in a very overt, physical way by means of Antifa and Black Lives Matter, which the public has understood, come to understand, is really, they aren't independent efforts. They are coordinated with a Democratic Party. And in addition, if Bruce Springsteen were to go to Australia, my God, Giuseppe, look what he'd encounter there.
I know.
The globalists have gone even further. They're abusing Australia. They're beating up those who aren't wearing masks. They assaulted a pregnant woman because she wasn't wearing a mask. They're creating, you know, these minicule, these little cubicles for people to reside. We have 300 square feet. They want to put Australians on a limited budget and energy supply. In other words, they're further along in implementing the Chinese model of social control in Australia than we are here in the USA. Right. So if Bruce Springsteen really feels that way, I think he's not going to be a happy camper in, down under.
True that. No doubt, Jim, no doubt. And what's what I find absolutely perplexing is that weird-looking prime minister of New Zealand, who's even more draconian than Australia, and she just got reelected by a landslide. I cannot figure that one out at all.
Oh, I think that's got to be voter manipulation. She's very unpopular in Australia. And, yeah, she appears to be a bona fide hermaphrodite, who, of course, has the sexual organs of both sexes, very unusual, minuscule percentage of the population.
Unlike Jim, she had something swinging down there from a video that I saw, but who knows?
But unlike Michelle Obama, who is a man who has not undergone a sex transformation, but rather had breast implants and a huge shaving bill, this woman appears to be a bona fide hermaphrodite. So, you know, I think theoretically she could have children, which Michelle could not. So that, you know, it's just stunning the extent to which the Obamas have played the American people, and where I think this is one among many reasons they've been willing to go with the corruption of American society. It's outrageous. But I think they want to feel more comfortable. If they can make the rest of America more like themselves in their deviant ways, then they're going to feel more comfortable. And therefore, they have been aiding and abetting the corruption of the American educational system to the absurd extent that you have 8-year-old children being told that they can determine their own sex, whether they're a boy or a girl, and talk about all kinds of, you know, sexual acts among children who are prepubescent. I mean, this is about as disgusting as it gets.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch upon something that Giuseppe said. Do you guys remember all the celebrities that were going to move to Canada in 2016 if Trump was elected? Well, none of them did. And, you know, Bon Jovi also did a concert for Joe Biden. And of course, Lady Gaga was on the campaign trail with Joe Biden the other day, too. That's a dubious endorsement if there ever was one.
Did you see the mocking video she did that's making the rounds on Twitter where she dresses up? There's a big, interesting body of evidence that she is a tranny. Lady Gaga is actually a man. If you ever want to see some wild, believable things, watch some of those videos.
Well, Giuseppe, examine the lyrics to Born This Way, and that gives you a big insight into what's going on.
Oh, there you go. And but she totally was dressed in camo and opens a beer by a big lifted pickup truck. And if people don't understand, that lifted truck is when you put like big spring jacks. So instead of the truck being like 5 inches off the ground, it's like 15 inches off the ground. And typically short men like to somehow show they're more manly. But I thought that was just incredibly rude. And that's just the arrogance of these celebrities and these arrogant, I don't know what you really would call them. I mean, it goes beyond just simply at one group. There's like a certain type of liberal mass that believes it's superior to everyone. They think they're smarter than everyone, and they look down upon real decent people. And it makes no sense to me why they would. I mean, that's what really the decent people, the silent majority of the flyover states, is what makes this country great.
Well, I think that Donald Trump has been wonderful for the United States, and thank God Hillary Clinton was not our president. We would be in wars and terrible straits and a whole number of capacities. You may or may not have picked up on that she's made herself or has been appointed to be an elector from New York. No doubt she feels pride in the idea of casting a vote against Donald Trump. But that's only presuming that he's actually going to lose to Joe Biden. I believe Hillary may, like so many other Democrats, have believed their own propaganda, which is a fatal mistake in the era of disinformation.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Jim and Scorpio, that your shows with the brilliant Richard Sharnan have shown that most and a lot of other efforts, including yours over the last 20 years, has shown how easily hackable Diebold machines are and the other machines are. And that's like not even looked at anymore. It's just been swept under the carpet. But what's interesting is whatever hackers for the Democrats can do, there are equal hackers for Trump and people backing Trump, like the, Bibi Netanyahu loves Trump. And they got some world-class hackers in Section 82 in Israel. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, it's like one of those sci-fi movies where both two different groups of hackers are going against each other. That's really what's probably going to end up going on.
Well, this lieutenant general, you know, who was being cited as warning against Operation Hammer, and I find that's ironic because how many times I've said that after this election, Trump is going to drop the hammer. And I think he's going to do so on many groups that are richly deserving, is talking about using satellites to manipulate the outcome of voting machines. We shouldn't have any voting machines in the United States at all. It's disgusting. Amen. They're so easily hacked. We also, in my opinion, shouldn't have gerrymandered voting districts. They should all be done on the Iowa model by a panel of retired judges. And I also believe there shouldn't be private money in federal elections, that they should all be funded by the taxpayers to keep them clean. And monsters like George Soros out of the way, out of the action, because what he's doing is corrupting and warping the entire process.
Well stated, yeah.
We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
She
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, here's an interesting report from the Political Insider. Dr. Fauci, this is Tony the Rat, as I refer to him, own family turns on him, say they can't stand behind his flip-flopping. Dr. Anthony Fauci's own family appears to be turning on him as even they've had enough of inconsistent messaging about the coronavirus and his flip-flopping on lockdowns. Fauci's cousin, who is also named Anthony and owns a restaurant in New York, said that his family believes that the COVID-19 lockdowns are backfiring on America. They shouldn't do the lockdowns, the owner of La Fontana and Staten Island told the New York Post, especially now if you don't abide by the rules. Shut that area down, but don't shut down the whole industry. His son Joe agreed with him. In the beginning, I thought Dr. Fauci was fabulous, but then a few times he flip-flopped on different things, Joe explained. He had us all locked down at a tremendous rate. They should have loosened things up. When it was slowing down in the summer, everything else was loosening up except the restaurant business. Of course, I think it's tragic. I mean, Madison, for example, near where I reside, has fabulous restaurants, but they're going out of business. They're shutting down, and it's totally needless, as we have many times reported. If you're dealing with a pandemic, you isolate the sick. You don't isolate or quarantine the non-sick, the well, the healthy, and the masks. Giuseppe, it's tragic. I think Americans are killing themselves slowly by wearing these masks, and that we may actually wind up fulfilling the prediction of the Deagle.com, which is stating that the U.S. population is going to go from about 330 million today to less than 100 million just 5 years from now, that most of us will have simply put ourselves out of commission by wearing these masks. I mean, it's horrifying to think about, but there's so many who believe what they're told, who are incapable of thinking things through, who don't understand that recycling oxygen depleted air isn't doing your body any good.
Jim, the epic level of satanic evil of this scamdemic is breathtaking. That 10 years ago, the Rockefeller Foundation laid it out with its Operation Lockstep scenario, which is now reads as though we're living in a movie script. Everything that was in that Rockefeller Foundation report is come true. At the same time, the psychopathic, narcissistic, megalomaniacal buffoon Bill Gates starts building literally a worldwide vaccine empire. So the powers that be, the globalist parasites, managed to milk 20 years and trillions of dollars from the good people of the United States to fight the great Muslim Arab terrorist. In reality, was nothing more than a goal to get the U.S. military to expand the borders of Israel, which is the greater Israeli project, to go from the Euphrates to the Nile, as many know. So the Americans getting tired of that. One of the reasons Donald Trump got elected, one of his promises was to bring the troops back. A good promise, unfortunately, not even partially kept. He's chipped at it a little bit. We'll call it that. But the insidious, insane nature is, and if anybody hasn't watched Del Bigtree's High Wire, the High Wire Internet, which runs on Thursdays, you have to go and watch the first 20 minutes when he and his investigative reporter Jeffrey Jackson go over the whole idea of what really happened back in February. And what really happened, and they are exceptional investigative journalistic researchers, what really happened is Fauci, the WHO, the CDC, they were all going to just treat this like a normal flu and cold influenza season, right? It was and all the statistics show it was just that. When all of a sudden in February, Bill Gates starts crowing about, oh my God, this is the one, this is it. What we've been talking about is coming for 20 years. It's here. Oh my God. Oh my God. And all of a sudden the media jumps on this like never before. I have a graphic that I pulled off a website that uses a visualization of words. And so you've got words like SARS and MERS and HIV, every possible use on the internet, right? And so, you know, they've all got like maybe 10 or 20 million uses in 2020. The COVID-19 has 1.3 billion uses. So it becomes this massive psychological operation. And the brilliantly satanically evil genius is they have taken the common cold, the coronavirus, which, by the way, is the only thing they can test for is it in the family of the common cold? They have no capability, no skill to say this is the novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2. This is only the common cold. And so it's like these evil geniuses, they recycle things. This is like 101 years ago, the 1919, the Spanish flu, which was actually triggered by the vaccine that was given to the troops at the time, and then it spread, which things will always happens. But the mass killer, the greatest number of people died not from the Spanish flu, but from wearing masks and developing bacterial pneumonia. Yes, dear listeners, it's true. More people died from masks in 1919 than from the Spanish flu. And now the supposed second wave is just that. It's all caused by masks combined with the typical flu cold season when the weather changes. So, hey, Mitchell's here. Mitchell, hey, welcome to the show.
Mitchell, join the conversation, my friend.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Now, I don't know what the conversation was. I just got my power back.
Wow. Well,
they had to hop right on it because right at the end of Ramsey Lane Henry Elementary School, and that's a polling location. So, we were all out. So I'm sure they had to get right on that one.
Was it from the high winds, Mitchell?
Yeah, it was from high winds. I had gone to the store and I was coming back, and they were just pulling out of the farmer's pasture. I guess where they had been working. They had four or five electric company utility vehicles back there. So,
well, you're well versed on this topic. What we pulled you into was the idea that the evil satanic genius is turning the new nano terrorist, the common cold, into the greatest threat to mankind.
Well, when you lower the bar so low that, you know, any viral outbreak of any kind is going to be declared some kind of event. Combine that with the testing methods that are used, detect scrap pieces of old viral cells that have been destroyed. And, the truth is I think the threshold is like 35 or below. It's possible that it's active, but above 35, 36 or whatever it is to up whatever, however they go, those extra bits and pieces essentially mean that the virus is destroyed and it can't, you know, recombine or get itself going again. So they're creating a testing regime that creates false positives. It's my belief that those false positives, that because there's so many of them and there's this clear absence of the standard influenza flu season at all, that what they're doing is they're picking up pieces of the leftover DNA from all of these viruses, whatever they may be.
That's exactly right. They can test for anything. I mean, the PCR test, it wasn't even meant to be a diagnostic test. The inventor, Kerry Mullis, had said that repeatedly. And isn't it ironic that he passes away just months before they roll out the PCR as the key element to testing all these people?
Yeah, that might be no coincidence. I mean, the PCR simply multiplies the sample, so you have more of it to test. It doesn't tell you anything else about it. And, of course, as you observe, the coronavirus is a genus, and we're talking about a species. So when you're getting a positive, that doesn't mean you have this COVID-19, which, as I understand, Giuseppe, and you seem to confirm, has never actually been isolated. The specific SARS-CoV-2 that is supposed to be the troublesome, the meddling virus that's killing everybody, so far as I am aware, has never been isolated.
Well, that is partially true. And they've got pieces of it enough to know that it has been altered in a lab. Dr. Luc Montagnier has wagered his Nobel Prize, saying anybody can prove that this wasn't created in a lab, he'll give back his Nobel Prize. Of course, nobody's taking up on it. But what hasn't been found is the complete virus, not partially modeled in a patient. It's not found actually in patients yet.
Here's a story I want to toss into the hopper. It turns out that this election is tearing people apart. You are no longer my mother. Families say relatives are dead to them if they vote wrong. I mean, this is unprecedented. The 2020 presidential election is tearing American families apart, according to a Reuters report. What are the details? Reuters spoke with a variety of U.S. voters across the country who all admitted to being a part of the same movement, shunning or being shunned by family members for differing political viewpoints. One woman in the news organization spoke as a 41-year-old Milwaukee resident, Myra Gomez. She said she told her 21-year-old son She's planning on voting for President Donald Trump in the forthcoming election. Her choice was apparently the wrong one, at least according to the unnamed millennial. He specifically told me, "You are no longer my mother because you are voting for Trump." She recalled him telling her, "The damage is done in people's minds. Trump is a monster. It's sad. There are people not talking to me anymore, and I'm not sure that will change." It's pretty damn bizarre. But, you know, I had something similar with my own sister, my only sister, over Sandy Hook, where I just, you know, she was outraged that I'd had this legal setback with this vast judgment against me. And I asked her to look at the evidence, and she said, "I don't need to look at the evidence. It's unbelievable what's going on here."
It truly is. Scorpio, are you still there?
Yes, here. I am. I'd like to pose a question to Jim, Mitchell, and yourself, and everyone listening. You know, everyone keeps talking about, you know, oh, there's more early voting than ever. It's shattering records. MSM is always talking about how many early votes have happened. It's historical, right? So here's my question. If that's the case, then why is it going to take so long to count the votes? Some states have an extra week to count the votes from voting day. What is going on, guys?
Yeah, I think it's a Democrat effort to find out where they need more votes and then to pad the tab. You know, I think it's very suspicious on its face. And as I've said repeatedly, those long lines, those early voters, that doesn't mean they're voting for Joe Biden and against Donald Trump. And particularly as events have unfolded, you know, they've had this this viral on Twitter, "How can I change my vote?" Remorse among those who voted for Biden before all the revelations coming from Hunter's laptop.
Mitchell, yeah. What are your thoughts?
Hunter's laptop, okay, here, the I'll, gift that let, keeps let on me, giving. That's right.
Yeah, let me weigh in on this. I'm going to try to find this link that I have. I have a link here with that has a demographic laid out of when the votes have to be in by certain dates or by certain states that's on certain dates. And I think there's more people that are going to be disenfranchised than what people realize. A lot of it is because of the double balloting, the no signatures. A lot of are going to be thrown out. There's a lot that are people are going to try to keep in this this mail-in balloting. I'm going to find that. I'll find that news story and post it in here. But it has the breakdowns of the date of when the due date is that the states say they'll be ready. And, you know, a surprising number of states are going to be declaring a winner on tomorrow night, maybe early in the morning, but it should be happening tomorrow for half or more to two thirds of the states. And I believe Florida and Pennsylvania are supposed to be now. Pennsylvania, I think, can be up to 6 days to get the ballots in, but it's going to be a court battle, and I can't say exactly how it's going to work out. Just because of the way the system has gotten so corrupt, and it's openly corrupt today.
Well, this is another reason why I think it's so timely that we had a new appointee to the Supreme Court. you know, because so you won't have a tie where things could go somehow haywire because of a failure. I think the Democrats have been counting on trying to clog up the system so that we could reach a date where the House would select the president. But even under those circumstances, it's not going to work out in their favor because there are 26. Each state only gets one vote, and there are 26 that would be voting Republican, not Democrat. So I don't think that's going to work out as they would like.
Whoa, I'm trying to bring in another caller. Here we go. All right.
Who do we have here?
Chris Weinert, the young, brilliant investigator that you introduced to Revolution Radio.
Hello, Chris.
I'm calling him. He should be. There he is. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Raw Deal.
Good, man. How you doing?
Chris, share your thoughts while we still have time. We're eager to hear them.
Well, I'm kind of coming in cold. I didn't really hear the context of the conversation. I'm sorry.
We were talking about the election. Just any thoughts? We think that Democrats may try to steal it, but that it's going to be an overwhelming landslide for Trump.
Well, I think the Democrats are going back to their 2016 DNC primary playbook a little bit, where I believe that there's some complicity and corruption involved. And they're already laying out the pretenses of the foisted people that they're going to put it onto, Iran, Russia, China. And I think that they're probably going to do the same thing like they did in the 2016 primary.
Are we getting a little tired of that bullshit? I mean, you know, give us how many years do we have to put up with this nonsense?
Well, these guys are probably going to swing from the rope as traitors if Trump probably wins. I think that Trump is going to be forced to deal with these guys in terms of a nationalist perspective. For them just outsourcing the labor out to China and just everything that they've been doing with these shenanigans. And then really, like, it's a Clinton tactic where they accuse their enemies of their own misdeeds preemptively so that they when they actually preemptively get caught for their corruption, then it looks like the accuser is the accused, you know?
Yes.
That's pretty wild. Hillary used to do that all the time, Bill Clinton as well. A vast right-wing conspiracy, remember that? But yet the CFR and AIPAC is, like, behind all this crap.
Yes. How do you think it's going to play out tomorrow? Do you think it'll be obvious that Trump has won, which is my inclination, or you think there's going to be uncertainty about it?
Well, I think that every person in the cemetery has already voted six times for Joe Biden. So I'll say that there could be probably more ballots than actual citizens, very similar to like what I've seen in Michigan in the DNC primary where like 240,000 consecutive Hillary votes come in at like 10:45 p.m. as like, and then none for Sanders. You know, it's going to be something like that where just these underserved communities are just they've been not only I think they've not only been failed by these Democrats in these urban cities, but they've been betrayed by them. And this whole corruption process is just part of the system, and they have it like played this. They're playing the slice into this, and I think they're like leading preemptively with these polls in terms of optics and consensus management. I think that really they're doing like they were doing before, and I think it's maybe they've done this more often than we might have realized throughout history. You know,
good stuff. Giuseppe, Scorpio, further thoughts of yours? Coming toward the end, why don't you give us some predictions about tomorrow, each of us?
Scorpio. I guess I'll jump in. Go ahead, Scorpio. Predict tomorrow.
Well, I think there's only two possible outcomes. Either we have a Joe Biden victory and everything is copacetic with the election, or Trump wins and, oh gosh, there were so many irregularities. And we can't really confirm, we can't verify the real winner. And therefore, Trump will be an illegitimate president. That's my two possible outcomes.
Giuseppe.
I think that was interesting that Mitchell shared the knowledge that two-thirds of the states will declare. So I believe that Trump will claim victory. And then I think it's going to go into the courts with all those legions of lawyers they both have.
Chris, you're still here, right?
Yes, sir. I kind of agree with what both of your guests are saying a little bit there. But I think Trump's going to smack him unless there's you know, a stacked deck. I've seen way more Trump support than I do for Biden or Harris or any of this stuff. So, yeah, I really should see with this lockdown and the overreach of these Democratic governors, I would like to see a lot of these labor-intensive states just go red hard.
I like that. I agree with all that. I think it's going to be an overwhelming victory for Trump. So overwhelming. Their best efforts to steal it are going to be unavailing. And I think it's going to be clear already tomorrow night that Donald Trump has been reelected president of the United States with the overwhelming support of the American people. And the lack of enthusiasm is a key factor. What do Biden and Harris promise us? More lockdowns, more masks, nothing positive whatsoever. Trump has been invigorating the nation. There's tremendous enthusiasm. He's done good things across the board for America. And his prospects of bringing us back from this economic doldrum imposed by this phony coronavirus, I think, is going to be the key to his overwhelming victory. I look forward to this tomorrow. And, of course, Giuseppe, Scorpio, and I are going to be giving a live report from 8 to 10 Eastern. And anyone who wants to tune in, you can find it on multiple venues. Giuseppe, why don't you explain where they can catch us doing our thing?
Well, sure, but I'd like to get Mitchell Bupp, who is a vice presidential candidate, his thoughts on the election. And Mitchell's spearheading the Revolution Radio coverage, which is massive. I believe it starts in 2 hours and will run for 72 hours. No, I'm just kidding. But he's got
72 hours.
He's got
we're going to run an election special from 8 to 2 in the morning. We're just going to kind of cover everything as the stuff comes in.
We should link up for a few minutes, and it's easy. I can put the two together here on my end. So
I'm sure we can do that. Mitchell, what's your projection? How do you think it's going to come out?
Well, I'm leaning a bit Trump at about 320 electoral votes or somewhere in there. Of course, he won't win the leftist strongholds, but I think he's going to mop everything else up.
Very nice, very nice. Well, thank you all, Mitchell. I'm so glad you could join us. Chris, Scorpio, Giuseppe, look forward to tomorrow night. I think it's going to be a great day for America. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Super.
Listening to Revolution.